Our Lord reigns as King over absolutely everyone and everything. The White House thinks they're in control. Putin, China, they all think they're in control. Let me tell you what, Jesus is the King of the universe, amen? History is His story.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study of the New Testament epistle of Hebrews. Today, Pastor covers chapter 8 and has titled this message, The New Covenant.
We're going to talk this morning about something that is near and dear to each and every Christian, okay? And that is the new covenant. There's nothing greater, there's not a greater covenant on this planet than that of the new covenant of our Lord, amen? Now, with all that being said, we left off last time because chapter 7 began a brand new section, or we could say the second main portion of Hebrews. So last time, chapter 7 was about our great high priest and Jesus, our Lord, of course, being a better priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. This morning, we're going to talk about the better covenant that is based on better promises. In the first six verses this morning, there's about 5 points that the writer of Hebrew gives us about Jesus, our great high priest, okay? And then we move into the covenant. So Melchizedek, who we studied last week in depth, he kind of fades from the scene. He's still there and all that, but we're going to look at the priesthood of Jesus, and then we're going to move into the new covenant. And here's something that blew me away, and this is my third or fourth time to teach through Hebrews. And after all these years, I don't know how I missed this, but do you know, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm right, preface it just to protect myself. I could not find from chapter 8 through chapter 10, verse 18, I could not find in the Greek one imperative, meaning not one command. That is so strange. And so we're entering, this is a holy, holy section, all right? And it's all about Jesus our Lord. But this morning is about the new covenant. And let's begin beginning in verse 1. And I love how, I believe Paul, of course, the author, just how he opens this up. He says in chapter 8, verse 1, now this is the main point. This is the main point of the things we are saying. Now that's present tense. He says, I want you to get this. We're not talking about what we've already discussed now. We're getting ready to move into areas of everything that's before us is of vital importance, okay? So when you come to the main point, if you have a King James Version, it says, now the sum. I think that's personally an inadequate translation, okay? The sum doesn't bring it where we need. When it says the main point, we're talking about the chief point. And not only are we talking about the chief point, but we're talking about the most important point, okay? But I like what my German Bible, in their translation, how they render this verse. It's beautiful to me, and I just hold it in my heart, and I pray you do too. It's translated in my German Bible as this, now to the crown. Isn't that beautiful translation? Now to the crown, and this indeed, this is the crown of Hebrews as we look at the new covenant this morning. So he says, here's the main point that I want to tell you about, and he begins by describing our Lord. And he says, we have a high priest. And he doesn't put it that way, though. He says, we have such a high priest. So what is he saying? He's saying that Jesus, our Lord, our great high priest, he's a better priest than Aaron could ever think about being in position and exaltation. Amen? In other words, when it says that we have, that's present tense. We have, it means continuing forever and ever and ever. We have our Lord, man, and He is the one who allowed us to draw near to the Lord God, to have access to the Holy of Holies, to come before the Lord with thanksgiving or to come before the Lord in need of mercy or grace and help of time of need. And that is something that the Old Testament priest could never do. He could never take other Jewish believers into the presence of God by coming into the Holy of Holies. Amen? because he could only enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, which was once a year, and he couldn't take anybody with him. And he better go in by the blood, and if he didn't, he would die. Man, you're talking about Jesus is so much better. We have access right now to the throne of grace, like you've heard me say, access without any condemnation. We can come to the Lord freely by grace. And the reason is Hebrews 7:22, is that Jesus, our Lord, he is the surety. He is the guarantee, if you will, of not only a better covenant, but God swore and said that we would have a high priest that would be going on forever and ever and ever. He would never be annulled. He would never become obsolete. He would be there for us forever. And not only that, it says in Hebrews 7:25 about our great high priest being so much better than Aaron. When he saves us to the uttermost. Amen? Those who come to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. He saves you completely, utterly, forever and ever and ever. And I say, oh Lord, you are so good. That's why it says in Hebrews 7:26 that our high priest, Jesus, he is fitting for us, meaning he is exactly what you need. He's exactly what I need. And not only that, he is harmless. He's undefiled. He is holy. He is separate from sinners. Amen. He is our merciful, faithful high priest. He cares for you. He loves you. What we face, he faces. And whatever we face in this life, he faces that with us. Amen? We talked about that last Sunday. Now look at verse 1 again. And we have this high priest. We have such a high priest, it says. And look at his position. He is seated. Did you know that's the fulfillment of Psalm 110 verse 1? The promise God made to the Son, you know, that you would sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So that is a fulfillment of that. So Jesus did something that no other earthly priest could ever do. The tribe of Levi, they weren't allowed to sit ever to become a king or sit on the throne. Jesus did, amen? And matter of fact, the Levitical high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies and offering the sacrifices, was there a chair in the Holy of Holies? No, no chair there at all. But you know what? There's one in heaven. And Jesus sat down. And why did he sit down? Because his work is finished. In other words, his work of salvation. When Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, okay? Gave up his spirit. Listen, paid in full. Our sin debt, the sin debt of the world, is totally paid in full. He did what no Old Testament priest could ever, ever do. Now, but the priest and the Levitical priesthood, remember, we're talking about Jews, amen? We're talking about Jewish believers in the first century who have come to Christ. The temple is still standing. Sacrifices are still being offered. Phinehas is their high priest, okay? Now, with all of that being said, the Old Testament high priest or any priest, any Levitical priesthood, they could never, ever sit down. All they did all day long was offer sacrifices year in, year out, day after day. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 10:11. It says, and every priest stands, he's not sitting, stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. In other words, over and over. And the writer says, but they can never take away sins. But this man, meaning our Savior, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And that's where he is right now. As the scripture right there says, he's at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, plural. Heavens, plural, meaning he's in the third heaven where God dwells, where the angels are and where the redeemed of the Lord are located. And listen now, he is both our king and he is our great high priest. Amen? No Levite could ever, ever claim that. He's after the order of Melchizedek, as we learned last Sunday. It is unchangeable and God has sworn an oath. But I want you to listen now. And I want you to get this reality, because we look at what's going on in our world. And if you watch the news enough, or if you have favorite news on your website or wherever you go, Fox News or CNN, whatever they are today, and if you read all the horrible junk that's happening in our world, you're going to get depressed. Did you know that? You know, Russia's doing this. China's doing this. You know, well, you know, okay, let them do whatever they want. But here's the deal. We have someone, he is not only the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our great high priest. He is sitting right now. He is alive, and he is sitting at the very right hand of God. He is sitting at the place of all authority in the universe. Do you understand? He has been given unto Jesus, our Lord, all authority, not only in heaven, but upon this earth. Amen? Amen. Let me give you a scripture for that. It says in Ephesians 1:20, when God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him, there's that word, seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen carefully. Far above all principality, that means any kind of rule. Far above all power, that means any kind of authority. Far above all might or power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. Listen, we have such a king as this. We have such a high priest as this right now. You talk about power. Our Lord reigns as king over absolutely everyone and everything. Man thinks he's in control. The White House thinks they're in control. Putin, China, they all think they're in control. Let me tell you what, Jesus is the king of the universe, amen? History is his story, his story. Like I said, the world's not falling apart, it's all falling into place, amen? Yes, loved one, listen, far above, Jesus is far above any title. Any earthly title that you can come up with, he is above it. And not only that, he is above any name that can ever be uttered on this planet. He is above it, but he's more than that. It says, it continues in Ephesians, and he has put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, that's us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Can you believe that we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies? The creator, the sustainer of all that there is, that we're in him. Loved one, listen, that is our king. He is the sole head of the universe right now. He is the sole head, no one else, but Jesus, head of the church. And guess what? We're his body. That should excite you. We're his body. What does that mean? That means we share his life. There should be tambourines going on. We share his life. Galatians 2:20, what did Paul say? Christ is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives where? In me. Oh, listen, we share the very life of Christ. And not only that, do we have his power? Absolutely. Acts 1:8, do we have his mind? Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we have his lowly heart? Yes. We share his very life. The main point, the crowning jewel, if you will, the crown of Hebrews, we have a better priest. We have a better high priest than the Levitical priesthood. This was addressed to the Jews, remember? And not only that, he ministers in a better sanctuary. That means he's better than the Levitical priesthood. Look at verse 2. And he is our high priest, a minister of the sanctuary, meaning the holy of holies in heaven, of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. What was the earthly tabernacle for? It was built for the dwelling place of God in the midst of his people. Go study out Numbers and you'll see how all the tribes, they all faced the tabernacle, and there above them was the Shekinah glory of God. Now, so is God dwelling among his people. But the earthly tabernacle that we study in the Old Testament, loved one, it was only a shadow. It was just a shadow of the true tabernacle that's in heaven. So what's the change here then? Well, let me ask you a question. Did they worship the Lord there in his presence in the Old Covenant? The Shekinah glory of God representing the presence of God. Did they worship him? Well, that was earthly worship. You know, when you were singing a moment ago, you weren't singing to God here. You were singing to him there. Our worship now has been transferred to the heavens. Why? Because it says in Colossians 3:1, it says, since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. He's alive, man. His work on the cross is done. His work in the tomb is done. The work of his resurrection is done. The work of his ascension is done, loved one. Boy, we have a high priest, the God-man in heaven for us right now, and we are living in the last days, right this very moment. And we have a king and priest that is sitting at the highest place of authority in the universe. Look at verse 3. For every high priest, or you could read it, for every earthly Levitical high priest, those of the tribe of Levi, is appointed to do something, to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And then he says, therefore, which takes us back to what I just read. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, do you see the O is capitalized, okay, meaning our Lord, that this one, meaning Jesus, also have something to offer. Now, listen very carefully. Same thing I said to the early service. Like I told them, you know, it's always good to do a word study. And word study is not hard for any believer, no matter how mature or immature you might be in the Lord, okay? You can do it. It's very easy. But so you see, there's the word offer is there how many times? It's not an intelligence test. Just it's in there two times, isn't it? Okay, one has to do with our Lord, and the other one has to do with the Levitical priesthood. The first offer is not the same like the second offer, okay? The first offer is a present tense, meaning in the Greek. So it means they continually, repeatedly, day in and day out, offer sacrifices forever and ever. And it just goes on and on. It's repeatedly. But this offer here is in the aorist tense in the Greek, which means a one-time act of an offering, not many, just one time. Now, so what did he offer? You see, Jesus is not only a better priest than Aaron, he offered a better sacrifice. The Lord offered gifts and sacrifices of himself to us and to God for the world. Amen? Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 7:27. It says here that the high priest, well, they offer up sacrifices for their own sins and then the people's. Here it comes. For this he, meaning Jesus, this he did one time, once and for all, when he offered up himself. Hebrews 9:25, but now once, not many times, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared, meaning Jesus, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So that one offering. Now go to verse 4. For if Jesus were on earth, if he were on earth, watch this now, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. Question now. I want you to do your homework. If you go through the Gospels, will you find any place in the Gospels where Jesus, our Lord, in his earthly ministry, entered the Holy of Holies in the temple? No. Will you find anywhere in the four Gospels that Jesus entered into the holy place? The holy place? No. Holy place, then Holy of Holies? He entered into only one area, and that area was the outer court. Remember, that's where the treasury, where they would, all those little horns were set up and they would, remember, you know, put the money in and so forth. Why? Well, he's from the tribe of Judah. Only Levites, are you with me? Only Levites could do that, loved one. So the spotless, sinless Son of the living God, he could not do that because he was of the tribe of Judah, because the law said no. No one from Judah could go into that. Now, look at verse 5. It's talking about now the earthly priest, the Levitical priesthood, who serve the copy and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he, meaning God, said, he's going to quote now Exodus 25:40, for God said to Moses, see that you make all the things according to the pattern or the type shown you on the mountain. Question, how many days was Moses on the mountain with God? 40 days and 40 nights receiving all the instructions to build the tabernacle, all the instructions for the priesthood, their garments, what they were going to wear. God said, here is a design for all of them. Now listen, everything in the tabernacle, we're going to talk about that next Sunday, the Lord willing. We may be gone to heaven by then, the rapture. But if we're not, we're going to be talking about it. It'd be good for you to read the book of Exodus, because the main portion of the book of Exodus has to do with the details of the tabernacle. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But listen to me now. I'm going to ask you a question. There is Moses. He's on the mount, and God's shown him the true tabernacle in heaven. How did he do that? I mean, we're not even told how. I mean, did heaven open up, and did he look into heaven? And God says, now, you see, this is what I want right here. I want this color, this kind of gold, silver. Are you all with me? Do you see how incredible that was? But here's the thing. If you could look, if we could go back and see all of the Levites, all the Kohathites, all the people that worked in the tabernacle, some of them could only carry the Ark of the Covenant. Some of them could do this. Some of this could, oh, this is sacrifice. You'd see them busy, busy, busy. And if you saw that, you'd think, oh man, that's incredible. What you'd really need to say is that was only a shadow. That was not the true reality. It pointed to the true reality. Now, with all of that being said, the law of Moses, all of the sacrifices, all of them, they were, as it says in Hebrews 10:1, they were a shadow of the good things that were to come. Verse 6, but now he, that means our Lord, he's obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch he is, number one here, also mediator of a better covenant. You know, when we say the New Testament, the word testament means covenant, okay? So we could say a better testament, which is grace and not law. Thank God for that. Now watch this, which was established and are at rest upon better promises. So this ministry that is more excellent, the writer of Hebrews is telling the Jewish believers in the first century now that believe in Jesus, the temple is still standing, sacrifice still being offered. He said, your great high priest has a much more excellent ministry than what's going on in that temple. Because remember, some of them were under persecution, thinking about returning to some form of Judaism, okay? Now, with all that being said, it says we have a better covenant, we have a better mediator based on better promises. Listen, there's no one as great as Jesus. He is mankind's only perfect mediator between God and all of mankind. Do you know that? 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that this man, Christ Jesus, he is the only mediator, loved one. There's no one else. There's a lot of people today, they're involved in all kinds of different religions, and I mean, we can start naming them. And there's even those that say, well, you have to go through certain women to get to heaven and all. No, listen to me now. There is only one mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That means there's no other religion on earth that can get you to God. None. No other way. You see, if he is the only mediator, that means that there is no valid way on this planet to be saved or to get to God unless it is Jesus Christ. Amen? What did Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through or by me. Now, verse 7, now we get into what we're going to talk about this morning. That was just a warm-up, okay? For if that first covenant, now that's the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. You can study that out in Exodus 19, beginning in verse 5. It says, now if that first covenant had been faultless, well then there would have been no place would have been sought for a second, meaning a second covenant. So let me ask you a question. Did God know that the first covenant, the old covenant, wasn't going to make it? Of course he did. He knew it from the beginning. The old covenant was like a tutor, wasn't it? It pointed, I need a savior. I can't keep the law, man. I can't do it. I mean, I know I'm in trouble. I try to keep it and I keep failing. So it wasn't permanent. Never was the law of the Mosaic covenant was never meant to be permanent, okay? Now, we learned last Sunday in chapter 7, verse 19, it says, for the law made nothing perfect. Why? Well, the Levitical priesthood was only a shadow, loved one, of the good things to come. How many animal sacrifices does it take to make a person to be in right standing before God Almighty? None. You can 10,000? 10,000 sheep? Oh, let's give me 30. Let's go for 40. No. All the sheep, all the lambs, all the goats, all the bulls, from the moment the sacrifices began until AD 70, or unto the new covenant, I should say. Listen, they could not make a person in right standing with God. It was impossible.
As we close today, we want to encourage you not to miss tomorrow's broadcast to hear the conclusion of the new covenant. And as always, we want to thank you for listening with us today. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.